is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. Hurricane Beryl has left Jamaica, but a lot of U.S. tourists still can't. The airports aren't operating.
So now I've got to worry about paying another cab fare, going to another place to stay the night, and we had to buy water. Nobody's come out and offered us water or anything, so it's just aggravating.
Beryl, now Category 2, is headed for Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula. A staggering 170 million Americans are under heat alerts from the northwest to the southeast. CENTCOM forces destroyed two Iranian-backed Houthi surface vessels in the Red Sea and a Houthi radar site in an area of Yemen that it controls. Shooting on the 4th of July killed two women in Chicago, a police officer serving a warrant in Cleveland, and an armed person who is making threats in Yellowstone National Park. This is ABC News. The White House says President Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spoke about a possible ceasefire deal and the release of the remaining hostages that were captured by Hamas.
Gaza ceasefire talks poised to restart after weeks of being stalled. Israel announcing it has received a new Hamas response to the latest U.S. revised ceasefire plan, Hamas reportedly dropping its demand for an end to the Gaza war and a full IDF withdrawal in phase one, that is, before it releases the 116 Israeli hostages. That's fueling optimism here in Jerusalem that negotiations can finally resume. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
Construction workers creating a pedestrian plaza linking some of Rome's most visited tourist sites unearthed the remains of an ancient garden overlooking the right bank of the Tiber River. They believe it was owned by the Roman Emperor Caligula. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The heat is on. Did you know that high temperatures are the leading cause of weather-related deaths? Here are some safety tips when you're dealing with a Wisconsin scorcher. First, do not leave another person or your pet in the car. 8 kids died in hot cars in the last several years across the state, and it didn't even have to happen. Look before you lock and walk away. Work outside, keep water close, and stay hydrated. Take a break in the shade, and if you can limit time in the heat, even better. Chill out in the air conditioning or find your community's cooling shelter. And check on your family and neighbors to be sure that they're safe too. Stay cool and be cool by being weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Bucks add a free agent. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks signed 30-year-old forward Taurean Prince. Last year with the Lakers, the 6'5" Prince averaged about 9 points a game in 78 appearances. He played for Minnesota before that. Baseball, Brewers making a trade. They sent a prospect infielder, Gregory Barrios, to the Rays for a starting right-handed pitcher, 29-year-old Aaron Civale. Last night, the Crew with a 3-0 win over the Rockies. The first shutout for Milwaukee at Coors Field since 2005. Christian Yelich, with a home run, named as a starter in the upcoming All-Star game, along with catcher William Contreras. Colin Ray, pitching 7 innings in the shutout.
Code Red, we call him Code Red. He was sensational and really efficient. I think he went more down and away fastball than he normally does, and you'd have to ask him, but I don't think he threw as many cutters.
Yeah, it was a late night. That's manager Pat Murphy. They wrap up the 4-game series tonight with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. On and off showers and storms into your Friday morning with lows close to 60. For Friday afternoon, pop-up showers and storms and highs in the low 70s. Upper 70s to near 80 for the weekend, still a chance of rain. Little change into early next week. More rain possible, highs close to 80. Currently at 62 degrees.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Talk for Homan, Onalaska, and of course, La Crosse. Eagle 1490 WLCX, the talk of La Crosse.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Pete Schwabe, just wishing everyone a happy and safe 4th of July. We'll be back live on Monday.
But now here's an interview with comedian Jeff Cesario. Pete asks Jeff what he is binge-watching, and Jeff talks about his love for the Badgers. Then Pete shares a couple clips from the movie Bottle Rocket with Owen Wilson. Hope you enjoy.
One, two, three, four. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. A guy who washes his hands even after using a towel, Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back to hour number two of Nightlight. So great to have you with me, broadcasting live all over our great state of Wisconsin. And we've got a couple more minutes here with a native son, Jeff Cesario. He is a stand-up comedian. He's performed on The Tonight Show, had his own comedy specials. He's won Emmys as a writer. It's so great having him here, even if it's just for a few more minutes. Jeff. Okay, so we covered Dennis Miller, we covered Larry Sanders. I know we only have a few minutes left. What if you're a big sports fan and a big Badger fan?
Huge Wisconsin fan.
Yeah, and I wrote on a show for a couple of years called Sports Soup in LA, and it was one of the best gigs I ever had. I sat in a room with four other sports fans who were hilariously funny, and we had the best time of our lives. With comedy and sports with you, is the environment ripe right now for another sports comedy show?
I don't know. They never quite seem to get the traction that they should. I have an alter ego, a sports announcer named Chet Waterhouse, who has the worst sponsors in the world, but he calls everything like it's the seventh game of the World Series. And of course, Pete, I'm the voice of international speed fishing, which is a combination of ice skating and ice fishing and speed skating. You got to run laps around the, you auger the hole and then you skate laps. It's a team sport. Let's just suffice to say that. Sponsored by Throwbacks, the e-cigarette you light with a match. You know, that kind of stuff. I do that.
Right.
And I've had a blast doing it, but I've never been able to push that over into, you know, enough traction to do a major show. I don't know why sports comedy shows don't quite seem to click.
Yeah.
Probably podcast might be the best platform for them. But, you know, when you come out of Wisconsin, especially as an Italian kid out of Kenosha, when the Packers were in their heyday with Vince Lombardi at the helm, I mean, it's just in my blood to root for the Packers and to root for the Badgers. As I always say, when I started to root for the Badgers, they were horrible. But Earl Gillespie is the one who got me hooked, the play-by-play guy, because he would make it so exciting on the radio, Pete. He'd be like, there's the kickoff from Illinois. Billy Merrick under it at the five. He's churning, spinning, driving to the six. And you go, well, Earl, I think you fell down. But, you know, I'm 13. I'm like, that's so exciting. I got to go to Wisconsin.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
So I went to Madison, and the rest is history. I love it.
All right, two quick questions for you, Jeff. I wanted to ask you about Brian Regan too, but I hope you can come back soon and we'll do that, because I know you've worked with Brian and Jerry Seinfeld. But
two of the greatest guys in the world, Seinfeld and Regan.
Oh man, I mean, and talk about Brian Regan. They're both phenomenal, but yeah, we that could be an hour long conversation, at least on my end. Yeah. I love Brian Regan and I like Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Seinfeld,
for a young comic who I met him once after a show, and he was very gracious. I hadn't even started doing stand-up yet. And then I met him at the Laugh Factory, and I reminded him of the time I met him at the Vic Theater in Chicago, and he went, oh, yeah. He didn't remember me, but he was just trying to be a nice guy, you know. Nothing but great things to say about Seinfeld in a limited capacity, and Brian. So, but we'll do that next time, because that's a different conversation.
You got it.
But
I'm in.
What, real quick, Jeff, what are you watching? Because that's what we talk about on this show. We try to give people recommendations for binge or cringe watching, movies, TV. Can you recommend something?
I loved Better Things, which was a Pamela Adlon sitcom on FX. I loved Reservation Dogs, which is I believe on FX. Tremendous comedies. I just loved the
Forgot about
shows.
That one. Yeah.
I love the tone of those shows. And of course, Reservation Dogs is about Native American kids coming of age on the reservation. But it's just brilliant and hilarious. And lately, my wife and I have been watching Feud, the Truman Capote versus the Swans thing. And it's just great, dirty television, if I can call it that.
That's on my list.
Guilty pleasure. Yeah.
Oh, that's
so
great.
So I kind of run the gamut. And then what I won't watch is college basketball. I cannot. I will watch
really
every minute of a Wisconsin football game, even if they're getting destroyed. Wisconsin basketball, I can't watch it. Too much agita. Too much Italian nerves building up. Like the pace of it. Something's wrong. I need, it's like a triple espresso from the first tip off. I can't watch it. So I just follow on my score app. But Badger hockey I can watch as well. So that's a weird thing. I follow Wisconsin basketball. And of course, now I'm following Wisconsin volleyball, women's volleyball.
Oh,
course,
yeah.
Women's hockey and men's hockey. And I'm a real fan. I mean, people always ask me, why do you wear, you know, Wisconsin jerseys and stuff? Why don't you wear like, you know, Tommy Hilfiger? And I go, well, you know, when Tommy Hilfiger sponsors a 4-year university that gives me a degree, then maybe I'll wear his jersey.
It could happen, Jeff. You never know.
Yeah. Nowadays it might have. But till then, it's the old Badger kid.
I love it. Native Wisconsinite, Kenosha kid done good. This is so much fun, Jeff. We got to do it again. I hope you can find the time to come back to Nightlight sometime. It was great having you.
My pleasure.
All right. Have a great night. That's Jeff Cesario. He is, check him out. He's got a website, jeffcesario.com. Check that out. And the character he referenced is there too. Chet Waterhouse, very funny. And he's got, another character there too. Lou Rossi, based on an old talk show. Very funny stuff. Jeff's a great guy. So that was really fun. All right. So as we mentioned earlier, keep those texts coming too. We'll read a few texts in just a minute, but, this is the anniversary of the date that Bottle Rocket hit theaters and Old School. We covered Old School before. We're going to talk about Bottle Rocket, one of my favorite, most underrated movies. Owen Wilson, Luke Wilson. We have a clip right now. So we'll throw to that clip and we'll come back and we'll discuss Bottle Rocket. Conrad, what clip are we going to go with here?
We could do Keep the Gun on the Table.
All right. They're planning a robbery. They want to be a gang. They're planning a robbery. They have no idea what they're doing. And this is Owen Wilson leading his own crew. This is the first film. This is the first Wes Anderson film, feature-length film, with Owen and Luke Wilson. Go ahead.
Okay, escape route is crucial, just in case somebody is tailing us or even chasing us, as the case may be. We can't be sure how it is going to happen.
Do you think that we're going to be chased tonight? Is that a possibility?
That's a good question. No, I don't think we're going to be chased. I'm just being hypocritical here. However, I will say, Bob, please don't interrupt me, man, because I'm trying to stay focused on this stuff. You're responsible for the external situation tomorrow, streets and the getaway.
Whoa. Excuse me. Are the explosives really necessary here? I think it'd be a lot more simple if I just walk up to the door alone. I think that would be...
Why are you undermining me, man? How much bullets does this thing take?
Bob, look, please, I'm paying attention.
Damn it! You're not paying attention if you're messing around with the gun. Now quit...
Anthony, just keep the gun on the table. Keep
dignity.
I can't focus unless the gun is on the table.
You just paid for it.
Shut up, man. Shut up. I'm warning you now. Be quiet, please.
It's true, Dignan. I paid for the gun.
Say it again. Say it one more time. Say it again. Repeat what you just said.
I paid for the gun.
He's out. You're out too. And I don't think I'm in either.
I don't think I'm in either. He just fired himself from the gang. That's Owen Wilson and Luke Wilson. And a clip from Bottle Rocket. If you have not seen Bottle Rocket, it is Wes Anderson's first film, and in my opinion, his best film. Very funny stuff. Definitely check it out. I'll tell you what. If you rent Bottle Rocket and you don't like it, I will pay your Blockbuster video late fee. How does that sound?
They still have Blockbuster?
No, that's the beauty of it. I get off scot-free. From the 920, new texter, Drake from Green Bay, says, what is the Wisconsin connection to the Stripes movie? Caution, one bleep near the end. Oh, yeah. Harold Raymond says, I got the bleep kicked out of me in Wisconsin. Who do you think you're dealing with here, Drake? Amateurs? I've seen Stripes about 20 times. I think Drake's probably seen it a few times, too. Thanks, Drake. Welcome. Great to hear from you. From the 608, this is Carla. Aunt Carla from Baraboo. Hi, Aunt Carla. Listening. To be honest, I haven't seen Old School in so long, so we decided to dual watch Old School and listen to the best radio show in Wisconsin. Maybe later I can really answer tonight's question. Well, thank you, Carla. You're a big part of the best radio show in Wisconsin, in your opinion. And we're glad to have you always texting. We love your texts. 608, Rico from Rock County. This is for Conrad. Hey, oh, we already dealt with that. That was Rico being a good citizen, actually. From the 920, Steve from Florida says, Conrad's dad. Also, Steve from Florida, also known as Conrad's dad.
Yes.
Sorry, Pete. I've never seen the movie Old School, maybe because my focus at the time was kids' movies because Conrad was only 4. That's so rude, Conrad, of you to be born and conflict with the release of Old School. And his older brother was 11. The movie series Spy Kids at the time. I will make it my goal this week to watch Old School this week to get caught up on my responsible dad days. There you go, Steve. You can't go wrong. Anyways, if I can, I was thinking more today on your question last night on favorite movies from Saturday Night Live stars. Coneheads was a great movie. Great pull, Steve. I forgot about Coneheads. And that incorporated the original Saturday Night Live talents. Dan Aykroyd, Jane Curtin, and up-and-coming young Chris Farley, Madison, Wisconsin native. Was Chris Farley in Coneheads? I'm not doubting your dad, Conrad. I just don't remember that.
We have to go to the Google.
We got to go to the Google. Take a memo. We got to Google. 608, Rico from Rock County. Anya is my favorite producer. By the way, nothing against you, Conrad. How is Conrad not supposed to? How's he supposed to take that, Rico? Because it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
The celebration of Independence Day, the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776, has a rich history in Wisconsin, too. The holiday commemorates the freedom from British rule for 13 colonies. Is Wisconsin one of those original colonies? The answer coming up. Ringing cowbells and dancing. Residents in Watertown understood the importance of July 4th and held one of the earliest
various Independence Day celebrations in 1840. Captain Nicholas brought news of Independence Day when he docked at the end of Pearl Street in La Crosse and hosted a celebration in 1846. So now, does the 1776 Declaration of Independence from British rule include Wisconsin? No. Documents show Wisconsin was part of British territory, but so far to the west at that time, there's no impact. Wisconsin instead pushed forward to become a state in 1848. A slice of your 4th of July Wisconsin history. I'm Terry Barr.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, it's producer Conrad here. Hope you're having a good 4th of July. We'll be back on Monday with live programming. Celebrate safely this weekend. But here is an interview with Mike Siegel, host of the Travel Tales podcast. Mike and Pete talk about 1980s sitcoms and why they loved them so much. Then Pete and Mike share their favorite actor, actress, and ensemble.
Okay. Well, that was fun. All right, we're going to turn to some TV talk now. And I'm going to welcome back. Last week, we had a good friend of mine on, Mike Siegel, and Mike and I talked about 80s movies and kind of our favorite 80s movies, mostly comedies, but others as well. And I thought we would have enough time to get into TV, but we did not. So I invited Mike back, as we often do here. Sometimes we just run out of time with really fun guests, and we have them back the next week, and we make it a little mini-series, and that's what we did with Mike. So we're going to cover 80s movies tonight. I'm sorry, 80s sitcoms, and our favorite sitcoms of all time, and maybe a couple other things right now. My pleasure to welcome Mike Siegel back to Nightlight. Hey, Mike.
Hiya, Pete.
How are you?
Good. And I was watching on the screen, and I got to say, they sounded great, that band that I'd never heard of them.
Yeah. Conrad, what was the first song they did?
That was called Side.
That's what it was called?
Yes.
Oh, are you sure you didn't have the radio on or something? It was Side? Okay. Mike, check out Side. Say, they're great.
Okay, I will.
That's a good song.
I will say on the video, though, the woman next to you, you and her lit beautifully, gorgeous. The rest of the band in a cave.
Listen, as long as you told me I look good, Mike, that's all that matters, buddy. You've known me long enough. No.
I said you were lit well. That's all I said, Pete.
You cannot give a compliment without kind of sneaking around the door. And
this is the second time in a row I've started out with busting your chops.
And I almost wore the bowling shirt again tonight just so to show defiance. And no, Amelie, no one looks good next to her. Okay, so Mike, we talked movies last time. Has anything happened in the last week I need to know about before we proceed?
Not really.
No?
Nothing I can think of. Although dinner with our old Chicago buddies was great last week.
Yeah.
I think I talked to you right before I went to dinner with them.
You did. You were on your way out. And you went to that.
You were missed.
That steakhouse in Koreatown, right?
Taylor's, yes. It's a classic.
Man.
For those people coming to LA, if you want to, you know, a steak every good as you'll find in Beverly Hills, but for a little less price and a little classic feel, check out Taylor's in Koreatown. There's a plug that I just gave him. That was unpaid plug.
And you have nothing to gain from it.
Nothing to gain.
That's when you know.
Not even a free side salad.
This is interesting because Mike Schmidt was on the show last night, and I mentioned a Richard Jenny story. Last night I told Mike, I did some name dropping, and I was working on the road with Jenny in Tampa, and he and I were hanging out on a Sunday, and he said, come on, Schwab, I got to take you to this place. It's a new steakhouse. You got to check it out. I'm like, okay. So we go. It was the Outback. This is before they had franchised, though, or they had like five of them.
You were on the ground floor.
The owner comes and sits with us. He was a big fan of Richard Jenny's comedy, and the three of us are talking, and I called my dad. I go, Dad. I was like 23. I didn't have any money to invest. You got to invest in they're franchising. They're rolling this out. It's like insider information. And my dad's like, oh, well, that's great, Pete. And, you know, let me take my financial advice from jeans and a t-shirt. But honest to God, the guy sat with us. He was really cool. And now I guess they're rolling some of them back. I think they might have overexpanded. But
and in no way that guy was Australian, was he?
No, I can't remember. I was
not at all. No chance.
Probably no not. Yeah.
I've been to Australia. Not one Outback Steakhouse.
He did have a machete and said good day a lot, but I think it was all an act, you know. Hey, it's good to have you here, buddy. So let's get into 80s sitcoms. And that was kind of our era. What are your
memories of 80. What did you watch, Mike, when you were like in high school and college?
When I think about it now, I mean, high school and college was more or less, you know, that was our 80s. You know, that summed up the whole 80s for me. And I remember watching, when I look back, this made me look back on sitcoms, and I realized that most of my favorites were in the 70s and not the 80s. But I mean, the big deal, like when I was in high school and the hot show was Cheers. Yeah. And that was number one. Well, actually, The Cosby Show. And sad to think when you look back and it's really kind of like, you know, clouded now.
Horrible.
But Cosby, we forget how huge that was. I mean, that was a phenomenon.
It was. It was a well-done show. It was funny.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great. And that was probably my favorite show for a good couple of years there.
Yeah. Same here. And then I think you had that Thursday night on NBC. It was like The Cosby Show, Family, or Night Court,
Cheers.
I think. Or
no, Night Court, Cheers, and maybe Family Ties.
Yeah. And that was a killer. Night Court never really did it for me personally, but I loved Family Ties, and I loved Cheers, and I liked The Cosby Show a lot. So that was a...
I was going to mention those. Those two are on my list, actually, right now. I would put, of 80s sitcoms, I would say Cheers. I would put Cheers number one. And I've watched a few going back, and they hold up pretty well.
Yeah, I agree.
Others do not. Others do not.
Who is telling me? Someone was just telling me recently, or maybe it was you last week, that they didn't think Family Ties held up well.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah,
I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was a lot of, like, you know, Gen X versus baby boomer humor,
right?
You know, Reagan era stuff. I'm sure it probably, it's dated, but it isn't. I mean, it's probably the same, you know, dynamic somewhere around with the millennials or whatever with their parents. And
right.
But that was like a big deal that he was like a totally Reagan loving conservative and his parents were hippies. I mean, that was the whole deal. But if you look back, the ensemble was really good. Like Justine Bateman was great in it. I mean, she was basically there to set up punchlines and she was brilliant at it, you know, which is, being a straight man is not easy. You know, people think it's easy, but it isn't.
No, you're absolutely right. And I love the, and it's funny that you could joke, well, like he was a big time Republican and his parents were like liberal Democrats. That's before everybody hated each other and you could still have a laugh with people and like they still love their kid. You know,
still be civil and social.
Right. Did you have MASH at all in there?
You know, I had thought about it. It was a 70s sitcom. You know, the beginning of MASH is completely different than the end of MASH.
Oh, you're not kidding.
I mean, with every, you look at the first three seasons, and I mean, with that booming laugh track, it is just joke after joke after joke. It is all comedy.
Yeah.
And fun, you know?
Right.
And then as it got later and later and later, it just got, you know, all of a sudden the laugh track went away. And then it just, the themes got more serious. And it was just, by the end of it, it was pretty serious. It was just serious. I remember, like, you know, I think maybe to this day, the season finale was, or the series finale was probably the most watched sitcom ever. I think it got like a 70 million share or something like that. It was insane.
You know,
it was the number one most watched show, I think, of in history for a long time. And it was like, it just ended as cable was starting.
Right.
And so everybody watched it. We were still watching three channels and we watched
no
that
choice.
Yeah,
right. And you're right. It was really funny. Like Henry Blake was hilarious. Frank Burns
and
Margaret. And they were all funny. And then they left and Alan Alda made America sad for the last five years of that show with his preaching nonsense. Oh my gosh, that was horrible.
And you look at the first three, you know, it was Larry Gelbart and all these great writers writing it. And but Alda was doing Groucho. Basically, he was doing Groucho, and it was funny.
Yeah,
but the laugh track is obnoxious, like the first season. I mean, it's just booming.
Conrad, don't use the laugh track here as we go to break. Okay, so Mike, we're gonna do a quick bit of business, and we'll be back with more 80s. I'm gonna find out who Mike's favorite leading man is and actress in a sitcom in the 80s. Then we'll do best sitcoms all time. This is Pete Schwabe hanging out with Mike Siegel on Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. The ground. Thank you.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A judge in Madison is striking down parts of Act 10, the state law that took away collective bargaining rights for most public workers. Dane County Judge Jacob Frost says parts of the law violate the constitutional right to equal protection because law enforcement was exempted. It's not clear exactly how Wednesday's ruling will be applied. There's more law enforcement out on the water this holiday weekend, making sure people are boating sober. Savannah Tomei Olson has more on Operation Dry Water.
Please be careful on the water this weekend. Since the project began in 2009, law enforcement has gotten more than 6,000 drunk boaters off the water. The DNR says wear life vests and have a designated driver. Alcohol is a leading factor in boating deaths. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
That's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Matthew Perry had over $1.5 million in his personal bank account at the time of his death. People magazine reports that the late actor wanted his items to be put in an account named the Alvy Singer Living Trust. Alvy Singer was the name of Woody Allen's character in Annie Hall. His full list of assets has not yet been disclosed. An investigation into Perry's death by the LAPD, DEA, and U.S. Postal Inspector is nearing a conclusion. There is nothing like being on a reality competition show as a celebrity contestant and then wanting nothing to do with it. Such is the case with Jason Mraz. He told Jesse Tyler Ferguson on his Dinners on Me podcast that he thought he would only be part of the show for 2 or 3 weeks before being voted off, but then realized he was one of the better dancers and would be there the entire time. He says he missed his cat so much he wanted out and started asking his friends not to vote for him. Despite this, he still made it to the final round. Not a fan of cats, but I admire the conviction. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you a veteran who needs assistance? Do you know a veteran who needs help? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is here for Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. On and off showers and storms into your Friday morning with lows close to 60. For Friday afternoon, pop-up showers and storms and highs in the low 70s. Upper 70s to near 80 for the weekend, still a chance of rain. Little change into early next week, more rain possible, highs close to 80. Currently at 62 degrees.
Are you a veteran who needs assistance? Do you know a veteran who needs help? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is here for Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. We can help connect veterans with services such as medical care, financial and legal assistance, housing, mental health services, substance use treatment, and more. For more information, please visit wisvets.com. That's wisvets.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs.
The Mississippi to our left, Granddad on the right. We're right in the middle. Eagle 1490 WLCX, the talk of La Crosse.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Pete Schwabba, just wishing everyone a happy and safe 4th of July.
We'll be back live on Monday. Here's my interview with up-and-coming 7,000 Apart, who will perform Runaway and Side.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who has a black and white plasma TV, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Right now, I'm very excited to announce my next guests. These guys have been out of the country for a while, and they were on Nightlight before they left. And you guys have been back a little while now, I guess.
Yeah.
About like a month.
Four weeks, I think, almost.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
Yeah.
7,000 Apart joins me in the studio. This is great to have you guys here. John and Amelie, and you have your...
Yeah, Jasmine is here.
Jasmine is here.
This is our bassist, so yeah.
So you've almost not doubled in size since you've been here, but close.
50% increase, yeah.
50% increase, yeah.
That's pretty good. How are you digging it, Jasmine?
I'm enjoying it so far. It's a lot to do, but I'm seeing so many places, meeting so many nice people. So is this your first time in Wisconsin? Yes, it is.
Oh, wow. Is it at all like Sweden?
No. Well, I mean, there are roads, you know, there are trees, so.
Oh, it's like night and day.
The temperature is a little bit warmer.
Here?
Just a little bit, a tad.
It's been really muggy.
It's
brutal. I'll take this over winter, but still. It's good to have you guys back. And so how was Sweden? Tell us what that was like
over
there.
It's been good, yeah, this spring. So we were there, last time we were here, we were just here for, a December tour type thing. And then we went back to Sweden. And, yeah, we did a bunch of shows, started playing more. And that's how we met Jasmine, too, is we started doing more shows in Sweden, and we needed a new bassist. And we went to high school together. So after I was here as an exchange student, I had to go back and do my senior year again.
Oh, my gosh.
Sweden doesn't accept the American schooling system. And, yeah, that's how I met Jasmine. And then I knew that she was still playing, and because she has her own band as well. And we needed a new bassist, so I hit her up. And it turns out she's also half American, so she can come and work here, which is absolutely incredible.
Yeah. So we're like, you want to come to the U.S. for 3 months and tour with us? And she was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fun. Oh, that's great. How are you half American?
My dad's from New York, so, so I have that going for me.
So you're jaded already. So that's so great. So what do you got? If you need a drummer, then do you have to go back and comb the high schools again? How does that? You only recruit people that you've...
Well, this was actually really easy because I just asked Jasmine, I'm like, do you know any good drummers? And she's like, well, my brother is the best drummer I know. So in Sweden, we play with her drummer as well.
Her brother is the drummer.
And then here we play with Carly, who's been with us for a few years now, and she's incredible too.
Yeah. You know, that was one of my questions for you guys is I know you perform sometimes just the two of you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How often do you have more accompaniment than just the two of you?
I would say it's about 50-50. I haven't really looked at the stats for this tour, but normally it's.
Normally it's about 50-50.
Yeah.
And how is that? Do you like that better when you have more of an arrangement?
I think it's really fun, having other people to play with as well.
So
and
fun.
So then you
and it becomes a bigger sound.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. You get new, it's a new experience because we've done so many duo shows, so it's nice to play with other people as well. So we still love playing
just two of us because we can be a little bit more free. We can take more requests. We can be a little bit more silly.
Get more input musically as well.
Yeah.
But playing with the band is still our favorite. Yeah.
How do you like playing with them, Jasmine?
Oh, it's been great. There's a lot of...
It's just horrible.
Yeah, what's she going to say, right?
She's please don't send me home.
I don't know.
No, I mean, there's so many surprises all the time, which keeps it interesting. And it's just fun. There's a lot of good energy on stage. There's just a lot of good material. So... I'm pleased so far.
It's fun to play new places too, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
Yeah.
It's a completely different music atmosphere here in general.
Is there?
Live music, people actually come and listen to it, which is nice. We don't just have that
music.
At home.
Really? Yeah. What's going on at home when you guys are
We just don't like have a lot
wrestling
of
wrestling or what?
We don't have a lot of casual music venues.
Okay.
So most of our venues in Sweden are the big theaters or the big arenas, the clubs. There's not a lot of restaurants and bars or like music series.
Yeah.
It comes alive a little bit more during summer, but it's still pretty rare.
Yeah.
It's not like Wisconsin at all.
Huh. Are the crowds different, or is it just the venues that are different?
Very different.
Yeah, suites are a little bit more held back and polite. I would equate like Swedish audiences to like older Wisconsin audiences. Okay. They're very polite and they listen, and you know, and they might come up to you after, but they're not.
But it's
gonna,
maybe
like,
just like polite for, you know. It's just different.
Yeah, different for sure. Yeah.
Well, as long as they're not heckling and throwing stuff,
yeah,
I would imagine.
No tomatoes yet.
No tomatoes, yeah.
I remember when I was touring and doing stand-up, I hated the audience members that, like, you'd do a joke, and they would just go, like, nod and smile.
Just nodding
don't
your head.
Don't nod and smile. Even if it's a fake laugh, give me something.
I know. And it's funny because you don't know, like, you can... being on stage, and especially during like summer, you see all the faces.
Yeah.
Because you don't have like blinding lights in your face. So you see every single person, and you'll find someone who's, they just look so bored. And you try all you can to just make them smile or get them into it or sing along. And then sometimes those are the people that come up after and be like, thank you so much.
This is the best time I've ever had.
Yeah. Exactly.
Really?
Like, oh, my God.
That's so funny you say that, because I was out with friends one night after a show, and the club manager had his buddy in town, and we were hanging out for like an hour, had a couple beers, listened to some music, just talking, and he was like, this is the most fun I've ever had. And honest to God, I wanted to give the guy a hug. I'm like, what in the hell has your life been like? This is like the dullest night I've ever
had. Oh, my goodness.
Like, it's terrible. But, who knows? You got to perform anyway, though, because even if if there's five people in the crowd.
We always give
100%. You give everything
you can, They paid to see you. Yeah, right. Yeah. Do you get inspired more when you travel to write stuff, music, lyrics?
I do coming back here, too, because I just get, like, that energy of, like, you get immediate reaction. Like, it's different if you put out recorded music, because you might get, like, a comment or something.
Okay.
But if you play a new song live and like do it night after night and it's a new song, you get like immediate reaction from people like, this sucks or this is good.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, so it's kind of fun. And then that inspires me a lot to write more.
Yeah.
Too, I think.
I'm a little bit more like, when I'm in tour mode, I'm in tour mode. So either I'm on stage or I'm going to a show or I'm prepping for a show or I am in bed. That's like, it's either or. It's like very,
you're not writing or, okay. What setting makes you want to write? Like, I know some writers have that. I'm more inspired in Wisconsin or LA or wherever.
I think right now I'm really inspired. I have a whole story. I don't know if we can go
lay
into
it on
yet.
Me stretch.
Okay. So, we just kind of pre-inherited, my grandpa's old house from the 1600s.
In Sweden?
In Sweden.
Oh my gosh.
In the middle of Sweden, in the place called
Dalarna. It's like older than the US.
It's
like
literally
crazy.
Older than the US.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so far, like, that's really inspiring to me. We just wrote a song when we were there this last time, and it just came so, like, easy and naturally, and it was, So I think that's definitely one of it, like, one of those places that I'm, like, I can chill out.
Yeah.
I can actually, like,
There's no internet. It's just, like, just writing music. Yeah.
500-year-old house. Is it a fixer? Or is
no,
it like...
my grandpa took very, very good care of it. There's definitely, like, things that need to be done and things that could be done. Like, we have so many, like, plans and dreams for this house. But it's livable, which is
that's
great.
That's so cool.
It has a bathroom. It has electricity. Like, we're good.
That is great. Do you guys want to do a song? And then we can talk some more after?
Let's do it. Do you want to... Which one do you want to do?
We got about
let's just stand together.
We got about five and a half minutes. Is that cool, or should we do it when we come back? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, this is 7,000 Apart in studio on Nightlight.
Been running, running, running for some time. I never want to stop because I lose my mind. Been praying, praying, praying for the end. I'm tired of living this way, always feeling half dead. So come and stay with me, won't you come and stay the night? Come, stay with me, won't you stay with me? Let's stand together, cause the sky is falling. The sky is falling tonight. Let's stand together, loneliness is calling, loneliness is calling, and I don't wanna watch my world go up in flames, don't wanna I need to make a self-care kit. Everyone keeps telling me, open up your eyes and see, you can be the remedy, the remedy.
Very nice. That's great.
Thank
What's
you
that
so
song
much.
Called?
Let's Stand Together. It's from okay. It's from our latest album, Failure Feelings.
Nice. Where can people hear that if they
want to? Wherever they want. It's on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon.
Very wherever. Nice. Where did the inspiration come from for that?
Oh, that's like a story for another day, I think. But generally, it's about taking care of each other, and it's about asking for help.
Nice.
Our whole album, Feel Your Feelings, was about mental health in one way or another. And this song was about daring to ask to take care of you. You know what I mean?
Getting, like, it's just so, getting help.
So yeah. Easy that we, on our hardest days, we think we have to go through those hardest days alone,
mm-hmm.
when we actually all have people who love us. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, you guys, like, I've talked to other, there was a mental health film festival recently in Wisconsin. And I think, like, the creative arts or artistry is such a natural way of therapy.
Yes.
In dealing with mental health. Mm-hmm. But who would have thought, and I'm sure a lot of artists deal with that, but that you could pull inspiration from mental health and write beautiful music.
Oh,
that's so
100%.
Cool.
I mean, that's how so many, like, how we and so many of our friends and artists we look up to, that's how they put, you know, their feelings into words and into music. And it is such
how
a, like,
process the world,
yeah, exactly,
in general. Yeah,
exactly. And it's such a healing way of dealing with those feelings. It's through music or through art.
Because everybody, I mean, there are different levels of it, obviously, but everyone has some level of mental health they need to tend to.
Absolutely.
You have this on your summer tour brochure with the tiny microscopic font. but it's nice that you have Amelie and John's best... took my glasses.
Best mental health there.
Best mental health. And this is so cool. I think.
Thank you.
I haven't seen that before.
Yeah. So we actually, what we did was we partnered with Center for Suicide Awareness.
Okay.
An organization based in Kenosha. And we met them last year and they were like, we have to work together. And we were like, we'd love that. We wanted to
find a partner to work with. Yeah.
And so, yeah, we did that last year and we've been doing some really good work with them.
7,000 Apart is in studio here at Nightlight. We'll have more with them coming up next. I'm Pete Schwab. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Since I met this little woman, I feel it's happened to me. And I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Matt and Air on Air.
Project 2025, it's going to drastically change democracy. We did have a text from Lynn. She says, well, Jane and Greg, you are scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you, Lynn. I'm trying to make sure everybody understands what this would do. And it's scary, especially when we're talking about firing more than 50,000 civil employees and replace them with people who will just do what Trump wants. So Jared Kushner apparently is qualified to do everything.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
A 1, 2! It was a teenage wedding and a hostess wished them well. Could you see that Pierre truly loved?
I rarely have guests that break into dance in the studio, but that's why I love having you guys
song.
On the show. It was a great song. So... Okay, so you got a Summerfest date coming up. That's pretty cool. And you said this is the first time you're there officially. What does that mean?
Yes.
So, you don't have to sneak in and break into songs.
Yeah, we broke in, played randomly on the stages. Yeah.
No, so what Summerfest has, which is fantastic, is that they have a bunch of...
unofficial stages.
Unofficial, well, locally run stages. Yeah. So the Whammies have one, and then there's like a couple one. The Tiki Hut, the Whammy stage... The ground floor.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of those, but those aren't featured on the official Summerfest website, and they're booked like internally through those organizations that do those things.
Right.
While for Summerfest, you have to like if you want to be on one of the official stages.
Okay.
You have to like be in contact with an official
directly
Summerfest.
Through Summerfest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've done like the Whammy stage twice.
Were you at the Whammies last month?
We wanted so badly to go, but because of Taylor Swift, we couldn't.
What?
Yes, we wanted
it's
to fly.
It's all Taylor's fault.
Oh, man.
So we're calling her out right now.
She's going to hear about this the next time she's on the show.
So because we wanted to fly in on that Sunday so we could go directly from the airport to the Whammies.
Yeah.
But tickets were like four times more expensive because Taylor was in town.
Gosh.
That weekend. So yeah, tickets were just too expensive. So we had to go that Tuesday instead. Yeah.
Well, at least she wasn't at the Whammies because that wouldn't be fair.
No, she would take home a lot of those things. We won Best New Pop Song, and I think that would have gone to her probably.
You won Best New Pop Song at the Whammies?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What's the song?
Runaway.
Runaway.
Will you do that later when we do another one?
Yeah.
We can do it later, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you? That sounds familiar.
I think we played it last time.
Yeah, we did. I think you liked that one.
I like that song a lot.
I think you did. Yeah.
I remember that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And congratulations on officially being part of Summerfest. I mean, if you grew up in Wisconsin, that's like the premier music.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
When that was happening,
we were freaking out. We were so excited, and because it's such a big step for us, so we're very excited.
What is that like? Do you prefer? I mean, I don't think anything. I'm guessing, but could compete with an intimate, cozy sort of cool club.
Yeah,
it's got to be a different vibe outdoor. So, what does that do to you as a performer? Does that bring more out of you, or does it take some of the fun away, or do you love it?
I love the variety.
You like? I think Amelie especially likes energy though too. Like, so it just depends on the energy of the audience, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Sometimes a small audience
can have the energy of thousands of people,
and sometimes a big audience. Like every once in a while, a big audience has the energy of a big audience.
Yeah.
Right.
And when that happens, that's like just crazy. That happened at a Mile of Music.
Mm. Okay.
We played for around 1,200 people, and they were all there, and like so much energy, and that was insane. But then. You can play for five people and they have the same energy as 1,000 people, you know?
Yeah. I had a performer on probably 2 months ago, Conrad. He said he was playing at some club, I think in Indianapolis, and there were five people there.
Mm. Yeah.
And he said, all right, I'm going to go out. And he went out and he crushed it.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy books like 100 clubs. He goes, I love you. And
he
got all this work. So you really honestly never know.
You never know. You never know.
Yeah, that's why you always have to give like 100%.
Yeah. That's so cool. Let me ask you something. Where is the most interesting place you've ever gotten inspired to write a song? Or
the shower count?
That's not a very interesting place. Goodness, I thought you were going to say
desperately
like
jumping out of the shower to record something.
Yeah, that's
like, because you think of it while you're in the shower?
Oh, man. Desperately trying to record it on your phone.
I'm a great shower singer. I crush it in the shower.
It's really good acoustics. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's a tricky question.
Yeah.
I mean,
I thought you were going to say where's the most interesting place you've like played, and I had a list.
Well, let's do that.
No.
We can do that. I mean, we got invited to play for people at their castle.
Yeah.
Whoa.
They owned a castle.
Yep. Oh, nice.
And they're like, yeah, you will be staying in the West Wing. And we're like, what do you mean West Wing? And then they're like, yeah, this entire side of the house is like,
with the castle,
it was for like 10 people.
Yeah, and they have like had like furniture from before the French Revolution and stuff there.
From from the royal French family before they
Feather beds and stuff? Or
I don't know about that.
This was
like some kind of, I think they have normal beds. So that was where we played for like a dinner of like 8 people.
Okay.
So that was fun. We've also played in grocery stores. I don't know if we talked about this last time.
No, we did not.
Yeah, because apparently in Wisconsin, you have bars in grocery stores, which means that you have live music in bars.
Oh, yeah.
In and grocery stores.
It's a vibe.
It's a vibe.
You know, as a shopper, I do frequent grocery stores. Mm-hmm. That's where I get most of my food.
Yeah.
Most of it.
Most of it.
You know.
They're so depressing because the songs that they play are songs that, like, when I was in high school, people lost their minds.
Yeah.
Like, during a dance, and they would rush out, and it's like Michael Jackson or Cyndi Lauper or whatever. Now you hear it, and it's just a bunch of schlubs moving their cart, you know, buying the cereal.
I can see how that, like, changes.
It's like,
yeah,
how does life go from that to that? And it's just, I don't know. Sorry, yeah. I'm just venting.
No, it's not good.
All right, okay. So you're at Summerfest. Where else can people see you? Aside from Summerfest, you got the pamphlet here.
We're at Mile of Music again this year.
We're going to be pretty much all over. On our website, 7000apart.com/tour, we have all of our dates. And then on our Facebook, you can find all the events as well.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a lot in Green Bay this year, which I'm really excited about. It's really fun.
Yeah, but definitely all over.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit more about that. You said it's harder in Sweden to get, like, a following. But here, there must be a healthy music scene here, right? I mean, if people...
It's a very healthy live music scene.
Okay.
That's what Wisconsin has that Sweden doesn't. And then Sweden has a really good recorded music scene. Since Spotify is based in Stockholm, there's
really
a lot of success for Swedish artists on Spotify, for instance.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So, and you guys do your own stuff, which I think is more challenging too. Like, you have to keep it fresh. And do you have people that come out now and they know you well enough? Like, if you play down the street here at Hagermeister in Green Bay, do people come out and say they want to hear certain songs?
Absolutely. Yeah. We get requests almost every show.
Sometimes it's a throwback to a song we haven't played in multiple years. Yeah. And you're just like,
play this song from your first album, or play this song that you haven't even put out. And that's always a fun time.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want you guys to sing. So if you would do Runaway when we come back, that would be great. But first, before we go to a quick break here, I have to ask you, what's your favorite summertime ice cream drink? Jasmine, let's start with you. You've been kind of quiet over there.
Ice cream drink. What is an ice cream drink?
All right. Next.
Strawberry milkshake. Absolutely.
Oh, strawberry milkshake.
With fresh strawberries. It has to be with fresh strawberries.
Love it.
I'd say, like, cookie dough, like, concrete mixer is
very nice.
Like, ice cream. Yeah.
Now you get it.
Vanilla milkshake.
100%. It's National Vanilla Milkshake Day.
Oh, really?
Honest to God, yeah. All right. Abba, we'll be right back.
When you're feeling blue. Someone's living for their love. Someone's living for their love.
What La Crosse and Western Wisconsin is talking about. You're soaring with the Eagle. Eagle 1490 WLCX.
Days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.